When things get heated, wonder if anything is getting heated for you at the moment. Maybe not to this the extreme of this story. That was worthwhile to read most of that chapter. It tells us the story. I'm sure most of you remembered, but we often forget little details, and it is in the detail, you know, we find some amazing things. So we're continuing with our New Year series on prayer, and last week, if you remember, we looked at Daniel, who was a man of prayer. And he was not in a heated situation, but in a difficult situation. They had threatened to throw him into the den of lions, who happened to be very, very hungry. Anyway, he was a man of prayer. I don't know, I assume he was always a man of prayer. He certainly had established a pattern of prayer in his life. And we read in Daniel 6 over and over again a few times how that three times a day he prayed. I don't think there's anything sacrosanct about praying three times a day. You could pray five or six or seven or maybe just once, but really mean it. But, you know, that we should have a habit of prayer, I think, is such a valuable thing. It was valuable to Daniel, and it's certainly valuable to us as well. You may have noticed that in the reading, or may have noticed that they weren't there, that the words praying, pray, and prayer, none of those were there. And here I am in a series about prayer, and yet there's no mention of these three people praying. These three children, Hebrew children, as they've often been referred to, it seems that they're not referring to as praying here, but their names were Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And when we read of people praying a lot, we expect there to be miracles. We expect God to answer prayer and for there to be wonderful things happening. But we don't always hear of miracles like this in the lives of people who pray every day, maybe even three or four times a day. And conversely, when we sometimes hear or read a book about someone and a great miracle has happened to them, we're not always told that they have prayed specifically about that. So, but what I want to do here is just make that important connection this morning, because there is a connection. And this is how Jesus put it. He said, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have already received it. You're asking for it, but you've in your mind and heart, you're actually thinking to yourself, I've already got this. It's on its way. It's on its way. And you will receive it, and it will be yours. So that's quite a challenging promise, I think. So what exactly did Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego actually ask for in their life of prayer? Well, I don't know. I don't know. There's so many things I don't know, and this is one of them. We're not told, and for that reason, I don't know. But conjecture, I could guess a few things. That did they pray about this particular challenging situation? Absolutely. I mean, if you or I were in a situation like that, we would certainly pray an awful lot, wouldn't we? I think I know what the prayer wasn't. This is what the prayer wasn't. Dear Lord, let us be thrown into that furnace only after it's been heated seven times more. Then we would like to stand unharmed in the middle of the furnace until we're taken out unscathed. Amen. That was not their prayer. I think that's a pretty good guess, you think. Their prayer was probably something like this. Dear Lord, please will you help us in this difficult situation. We want to stand up for you. No one else is standing up for you, but we want to stand up for you. And even if they do, we don't want to, but even if they do throw us into the furnace, we're not going to compromise. We will not deny you. Amen. I think it's a more realistic prayer that they prayed for this. So before we go any further, I want us to think about our situations. I usually look at the thing in context, don't I? And then sort of look at the various aspects, and then we finish up with an application about what it's like for us. But I want to start with your situation this morning. This was a really extreme situation that they had. None of us have been threatened in this way. If you have been threatened with being thrown into a furnace seven times hotter, please stick up your hand. I didn't think so. I mean, that's hugely extreme. There are some other countries in the world where Christians are living with life-threatening situations. Perhaps not as extreme as this, but they're being threatened. And you will have heard what is called, and in fact it was mentioned this morning in Ziggy's prayer, about the persecuted church. The church in some parts of the world are really being persecuted. Many people are threatened with losing their lives, and many people have been martyred for their faith. And it's a reality for many thousands of our brothers and sisters in Christ. It's as real as we are sitting here today. We freely came here this morning. We can freely go home and we can carry our Bibles and we can get to our home and in safety and make a nice dinner and everything else, and we're safe. It's not a problem. No one's going to burn down our church. Not going to vandalize our church. I remember reading in a book how the church was called St. Mark's. It was in a country that wasn't named in the book because they didn't want to get into trouble. And the local government would not let them do any repairs in the church building. And people would vandalize it, and there was nothing they could do. There was no police to call upon to help them or anything like that. But our situation here in the UK is very, very different. Our Christian faith has been severely sidelined. That's been our persecution. It's sort of infinitesimal by comparison. It's not a blazing furnace. It's not a den of lions. We're just, our faith is pushed to the side. It's no longer seen important. It's more subtle. It's a bit like this. People saying, you have no right to tell us about Jesus. We don't want to hear about him. Let's get rid of Christmas, as we've celebrated for years. Let's get rid of Easter. Let's keep the chocolate, but hold on. Let's keep the chocolate, but get rid of Easter. We don't want any of that stuff. We don't want to do it in case it offends other religions. Don't bother me with all this church stuff and this spiritual stuff you keep talking about. People say the other spiritual stuff, we're okay with that. You know, the palm readings, horoscopes, seances, and all those things like that. We're okay with that. Just let people do what they want to do. It never did anyone any harm. What's wrong with them anyway? We hear this kind of thing. We read about it. These are the attitudes of many people in our predominantly secular society. And I've got to say, I think this is true, I think comfort is one of the great enemies of the church today. We can sit in our pews, in our seats, comfortable, maybe even have a little sleep. Very comfortable. We've got the heating on. You know, we're going to have a cup of coffee afterwards and biscuit and cake and stuff like that. We want people to feel comfortable when they walk in here and sit down. We want them to feel welcome. Isn't that a wonderful thing? History says something different. History records that when we are threatened for our faith, we stand stronger. I did not say that. History has said that. We learn from history. This comes out nowhere more strongly than at Calvary, where Jesus died. He died to bring birth to the Church of Jesus Christ. He died, we live. That's how it came about, God's kingdom upon the earth. For almost 300 years, the first 300 years of the early church, let alone maybe the first 10 or 15, the church was persecuted horrendously. And it was in the midst of that persecution that they thrived. They thrived. Often they had to meet in secret. But they thrived, the faith grew. It became this huge part of the Roman Empire. It was there. It was a reality. Tertullian said the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. And in the early church, and in our story this morning, when things got hotter, God did more amazing things. Now, I don't wish persecution on anyone, but I don't want to get comfortable in my faith and just everything's fine. I don't need to bother anyone about Jesus Christ. I'll just live my life to myself and everything will be wonderful. Perhaps the persecution of our age is a thing called apathy. Apathy. One of the greatest devotional classics ever written about keeping on fire for God must surely be Oswald Chambers' book of notes that were written after he died by his wife, collected them together in a little book, and is called My Utmost for His Highest. My Utmost for His Highest. Whatever your situation is just now, trust in the Lord. Whatever your trial, whatever your test, whatever your cross you have to carry, in the words of a book, the title by Keith Green, No Compromise. No compromise. Stand up for the one who laid down his life for you. The reason we come here is to pray, is to worship, and to serve no other gods. It is Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. And in this way, we follow in the footsteps of myriads who have gone before us. As they have followed Christ even to death, so we must follow Christ in our lives. And for a moment, and I mean just a few moments, I want to go back to their situation. Their situation. The threat of the furnace was before them. It was so hot, and yet it was going to get 7 times hotter. It's beyond our imagination. But, just sort of bring this down to, it's all about perspective, just sort of bring this down to where we are. However hot that furnace was, it is not nearly as hot as the sun up in the sky. You know, on a lovely spring and summer's day where we take off our winter clothes and we put on a t-shirt, maybe a pair of shorts, and we walk along, and this great furnace in the sky is just a nice temperature. You know, we may even have to put some sunscreen on, even your sunglasses, you know, and it's so wonderful. It's so wonderful. 93 million miles away from Earth. But by the time it gets to us, it's just perfect in a summer's day. You know, were it not for the sun in the sky, there would be no life upon the earth. None whatsoever. I should put it this way. Were it not for the sun that's in the sky 93 million miles away, there would be no life upon the earth. We could not live here. Were it not for this threatening furnace, for Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, there would be no miraculous story to talk about this morning. Were it not for the fact that we are the perfect distance from the sun, this far ball in the sky, we would either be burnt to a crisp or frozen in space. And what I'm trying to say here is if God can make a fireball in the sky 93 million miles away, a perfect summer's day for us here upon the earth, then surely God can take a furnace 7 times hotter than usual and actually use it for his glory. And for the strengthening of the faith of these three people, rather than them being afraid. God can do that. That's what God does all the time. He can use a blazing furnace 7 times hotter to serve his children here on planet Earth. Why not? Why can't God take a furnace like this and do something good with it and shock people and change the whole situation around? I like the two responses from King Nebuchadnezzar, who had this great, gigantic golden statue of himself that everyone had to fall down and worship when they heard all those instruments playing. I like what he said. This is the first thing he said, verse 25. He said, "Look, I see 4 men walking around in the middle of the fire, unbound and unharmed, and the fourth one looks like..." He had never been to NTC. He had never been to a Bible college before. He had never understood the refinery of theology. He just said in his own pagan way, like, "He looked like a son of the gods to me." But you know what he was really saying there? You know, we look back in retrospect and we understand what his words mean. This is what they really meant. He saw a manifestation of the Lord standing in the company of these 3 men of faith. That's what he saw. I want you to get that picture in your mind, because that's what it's like for us. Wherever we go in faith, the Lord is not very far away at all. And the second thing he says, and with this I close, he said, "Praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel." In our Bible study last week, we looked at a few references, in fact, the last 2 weeks, of how often Jesus is referred to as an angel. He comes as an angel. He comes to help, and often he's spoken of as an angel. Now, he isn't an angel, but that's how he appeared to many people, and this is how he appeared, who sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any other god except their own God. You know, I feel it's such a shame that children never get the chance to hear wonderful stories like this. Some of the parents, good as they are, will think something like this. If they want to listen to those stories when they're older, they can. Wait until they're a bit older. They can decide if they want to go to church or not. They could learn that the king eventually, what he eventually said in verse 29 was so true. No other God can save in this way. That is such a powerful thing that the king, Nebuchadnezzar, who wanted people to worship him, this was his punchline. This is the heart of this message. This is what Daniel chapter 3 is all about. No other God can save, can deliver, can rescue in this way. No other God. Only the Lord can do that. And our response on Sundays should always be, as we walk out of here, we walk out with greater faith than when we come in. No other God can rescue you in your situation the way that he can. Let's pray. Father, we are people of faith, and we are people of prayer, and we're people who gather to worship. And our faith, our prayer, and our worship, the heart of all of that, we want to say unashamedly, is you. And And we just want to, in the depths of our hearts just now, just make that declaration again. You, O Lord, only you can rescue, only you can save. May the spirit of faith come down amongst us today. Come amongst us and reveal the things of God. And help us to walk by faith in everything we do, so that we might please you for your glory. Amen.